Thanks to all of you. We appreciate you coming today, and thanks for giving in various ways. You know, Christmas Child, in the years since it was begun by Billy Graham's son, Franklin Graham, over 110 million shoeboxes have been distributed at Christmas time. Of course, we have a deadline of November 6th, and then Springfield later in November, and then it goes to distribution centers around the country and out to all over the world, and by Christmas, these kids get these shoeboxes that contain the gospel and neat things in them. And there is a magazine on the table as you're leaving that shows some of the pictures and things from last year. But last year, over 10 million shoeboxes went out from Christians and churches in America and Europe. And this year, they expect over 11 million shoeboxes to go out. Our church usually does 50 or so, and thank you for taking part in that, all the various ways that you give. Larry Davis told me a joke this week, and so I want you to blame him, all right? It seems that a thief was busy on a Sunday morning because he knew where the preacher lived and he wanted to break into the pastor's house while the pastor was at church. Well, he began to go through the house, and he was quite startled when he heard a voice. Have you heard this one? The voice said, "Jesus is watching you." Well, he froze and nothing else happened, so he began to move again through the house. "Jesus is watching you," the voice came back again. That annoyed the criminal. He thought, "What is going on?" Kept moving through the house. "Jesus is watching you." He kept searching. Finally, he got to a back room, and there in the corner was the parrot. And the parrot was saying, "Jesus is watching you." Ah, the criminal sighed a sigh of relief. And he thought to himself, what kind of a nut would name his parrot Jesus? And the parrot said, the same kind of nut that names his pit bulls Moses and Elijah. Anyway, thank you, Larry. Jesus does live at my house, but not in the form of a parrot. I want you to turn with me to the book of 2 Corinthians. The past 8 weeks, we spent six of them in the book of Micah, and then Kevin McGarry reminded us of the sayings of Christ, our Savior, on the cross. And then last week, we had Gideon guests here, and we talked about the authority, inspiration, and accuracy of the Bible. And we gave an extra gift to the Gideons, and thanks to all of you who did that last week. Even after sharing with our morning offering, the Gideons stood at the back, and everything that we placed in their Bibles goes to print and distribute Gideon Bibles. And the offering to the Gideons alone was $821. Thank you so much for your generosity. Well, Thanksgiving is a month from tomorrow, and most years, the Sunday before Thanksgiving, we talk about thankfulness. But I figured we could use it a month out. You think we can? I'm about ready to start another book study, and so we'll be doing that. But this morning, we're going to talk about Thanksgiving a month early, and it's so neat to do this from the book of 2 Corinthians. As you'll see with me, there's five specific things in this letter from Paul, five specific ways in which Paul expresses gratefulness or thankfulness to the Lord. And these are five things that we, along with Paul as believers, can be thankful to God for. I'd like you to join me first at 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 11. The first thing Paul mentions in the book of 2 Corinthians that he is specifically thankful for is answers to prayer. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 11. "As you help us by your prayers, then many will give thanks on our or your behalf for the gracious favor granted us in answer to the prayers of many." Paul is talking about answered prayer. He's talking about not only answers to his prayers, but to the prayers of the Corinthian believers and to others who are praying for the ministry there. Paul mentions in this short verse, answers to prayer. Now, if we wanted to take the rest of our time this morning, we could open it up to you, and I could ask you to share examples from your past in your life of specific answers to prayer, and we could easily take the rest of the time we have together. The Lord has answered prayers in my life. He's answered prayers in your life, what we would call big prayers, what we would call little prayers. The wonderful thing about the God of the Bible is the scripture tells us God is so big that he's big enough to even be in the small things. The Lord is so great. The Lord is so omniscient and omnipotent and omnipresent that there's nothing too small that would concern us to be of concern to him. Sometimes we're tempted to think, well, I'm not going to pray about that. It's just a little thing. But God is large enough to take care of even the little things. He's the God who numbers the very head, hairs of our head, the Bible says. James chapter 4, verse 3 tells us that you have not because you ask not. I quote that a lot because the Lord reminds me of that a lot. So often we have not because we ask not. Paul here is expressing thanks to God that God is a God who answers prayer. Jesus said, ask and you will receive on numerous occasions. Jesus also said, ask whatever you will in my name and I will do it for you. For my glory, for my name's sake, ask what you will and I will do it. Every part of the Bible, the law, the history, the poetry, the prophecy, the Gospels, the epistles, every part of the Bible speaks loudly about God being a God who hears and answers prayer. The prophet Jeremiah said in Jeremiah 33, call unto me, and I will answer thee, and I will show thee great and mighty and unsearchable things that you have not seen. God invites us into a personal relationship with him. We talked about last week when we looked at the Word of God, how God speaks to us through his Holy Bible, and God asks us to speak back to him in prayer. Call unto me, the Lord says, throughout his Word. So in 2 Corinthians 1:11, let me read it again. Paul offers specific thanks and gratefulness that God is a God who answers prayer for not only him, but for fellow believers. As you help us by your prayers, then many will give thanks on our behalf for the gracious favor granted us in answer to the prayers of many. Many praying, many prayers answered in Paul's life and ministry, and he's grateful. Remember, so often we don't have because we just don't pray. We just don't ask. All right, the second thing is found in chapter 2 and verse 14. 2 Corinthians 2:14. Better pay attention to this Thanksgiving message because you're probably not going to get one the Sunday before Thanksgiving. You're getting it a month early. All right, 2 Corinthians 2:14. But thanks be to God, second specific thing Paul expresses thanks for in 2 Corinthians. But thanks be to God, who always leads us in triumphal procession in Christ, and through us spreads everywhere the fragrance of the knowledge of him. Paul first expresses thanks for answers to prayer. Here he expresses thanks for a mouthful, for assurance along life's path. Sometimes Paul experienced circumstances that were smooth, sometimes circumstances that were very rough. But what he says here, thanks be to God, he always leads us in triumph in Christ. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Assurance along life's path. Paul also wrote in Philippians 1:6, being confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will carry it to completion until the day of Christ. Jesus is a faithful Savior and a faithful Shepherd. Assurance along life's path. Paul wrote in Romans 7, "Thanks be to God who gives us the victory in Christ Jesus our Lord, no matter what we're going through." Notice in 2 Corinthians 2:14, Paul expresses thanks that Jesus leads us in triumph through this life into the next. And if you were paying attention to what we were singing this morning, that came through in the words we were singing. Jesus said, "I'm the light of the world," in John 8:12. And then he said, "With me in your life," Matthew chapter 5, "ye are the light of the world. Let your light so shine," the light of Christ shine through you, "that others may see me in your life and glorify God because of the good works in you." Here Paul says, "Thanks be to God who leads us faithfully and allows us to be a fragrance similar to a light, to a witness." Jesus said, "Follow me, I'll make you fishers of men. You shall be my witnesses." The Lord leads us faithfully, and Paul is thankful. He's our good and our great shepherd. A third thing that Paul expresses thanks for is in 2 Corinthians chapter 8. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 16. 5 things in the book of 2 Corinthians. The first being answers to prayer. The second being assurance along life's path. The Lord leads us in victory. He'll never leave us or forsake us, no matter what we're going through. The third thing he mentions specifically is in 2 Corinthians 8, verse 16, 17, and 23. And Paul expresses appreciation for people that God has put in his life. Are we thankful for answers to prayer? Are we praying? Are we thankful by faith that the Lord is our shepherd and he knows what he's doing in our lives? He's leading us in victory, victory in Jesus. Are we thankful and grateful for people that the Lord has put in our life? Let's look at this, 2 Corinthians 8 and verse 16. "I thank God," here it is again, "I thank God who put into the heart of Titus the same concern I have for you." Titus was one of Paul's many faithful fellow workers. There was Timothy, there was Titus, Silas or Silvanus, there was Barnabas, there were others. In fact, in Romans, the last chapter, Paul mentions being thankful for 26 specific people by name who were co-workers with him and spreading the gospel. So here he says, "I thank God for Titus." And look at verse 17. "For Titus not only welcomed our appeal, but he is coming to you with much enthusiasm and on his own initiative." Paul had had a part in discipling Titus. Titus was enthusiastic about serving the Lord, living for the Lord, loving the Lord, as was Paul. Look at verse 23. "As for Titus, he is my partner and fellow worker among you. As for our brothers, they are representatives of the churches and an honor to Christ." So Paul says specifically in verse 16, "I'm so thankful for my co-worker Titus." And then in verse 23, he not only mentions Titus again, but other brothers in Christ who were a part of the churches and an honor to Christ and an encouragement to Paul. Are we thankful for answers to prayer? Are we praying? Are we thankful that no matter what we're going through, the Lord is our shepherd and he leads us in triumph? Are we thankful for the people that God has placed in our lives? I want you to close your eyes right now. I'm going to do the same thing. I want you to lift your hands up like this. Eyes closed, lift your hands up like this. Clench your fist. Don't hit anybody. Thank you. I want you on 10 fingers to count 10 people from your past who have been a blessing and a benefit to you And I want you to quickly thank God for them. Number them off. People from your past who have been a blessing in your life. Think of them, 10 of them. Here we go. Eyes closed still. I've got 10 fingers up. All right, clench your fist again. Still don't hit anybody. Eyes closed. Now, I want you to thank God from your heart, 10 people in your life right now who are a blessing and a benefit to you, who have made your life in some way better. Number them off, 10. Eyes open. The third thing in 2 Corinthians that Paul thanked God for was people that God had placed in his life. Answers to prayer, assurance along life's path, appreciation for people. The fourth thing is found in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, beginning at verse 6, and I'll be reading down through verse 13. The principle here is that God is a God who is a giving God, and you can't outgive God. There have been people in the name of religion who take principles and promises like this and twist them to their advantage. I've often wondered, all the people in religion broadcasting who talk about whatever you give, just give it whether you've got it or not, and God's going to multiply it way back to you and all this stuff. And I think if they're so sure, why aren't they the ones giving instead of appealing to others? It bugs me. Greed bugs me bad. It bugs me. In the name of the Lord Jesus, when there's greed. But we should not let those who abuse or misuse principles and promises of Scripture take them away from us. And in 2 Corinthians 9, 6 through 13, Paul is grateful and thankful for abundant provision from God. Let's read these verses. Remember this, 2 Corinthians 9, 6. Whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Life is like an echo. What you give out comes back to you. Verse 7. Each man should give what he has decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. Don't let a radio preacher or anybody else twist your arm or manipulate you about what you give. Each person, each believer, gives back to God as he has purposed in his heart, as God has blessed that person, and we do so cheerfully. If you can't give cheerfully, you might as well not give at all, because God knows your heart. All right, verse 8. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that in all things at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. As it is written, and Paul quotes from Psalm 112, he has scattered abroad his gifts to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. Verse 10, now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. Verse 11, You will be made rich in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion, and through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. You see that at the end of verse 11. Paul is giving thanks to God for Christians who share, who care, who give cheerfully, voluntarily, not manipulated, not under compulsion. Paul is grateful that God supplies everything we have and that we cannot outgive God. Look at verse 12. This service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of God's people, but is also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. There it is again. Thankfulness to God for those who care, for those who share, for those who support the gospel and fellow believers in need. Verse 13, because of the service by which you have proved yourselves, men will praise God, give thanks to him, and praise him for the obedience that accompanies your confession of the gospel of Christ and for your generosity in sharing with them and with everyone else. The Lord freely gives to us. He gives to us materially. He gives to us physically. He gives to us spiritually. We're blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Paul says, we're so thankful, we're so grateful, we praise the Lord for your generosity in sharing with those in need and in spreading the gospel of Christ. You do it cheerfully. You do it because you want to, not because your arms are being twisted. So Paul is grateful for God's abundant provision. I want you to hold your place in 2 Corinthians and turn back further in your New Testament, three books to Philippians. After 2 Corinthians is Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians. Paul's testimony here about finances and possessions. The Philippian believers have shared with Paul in his ministry as he travels and spreads the gospel. And in Philippians 4:11, the heart of the apostle is anything but greed. God deliver us from greed. May we be people of a giving spirit, not a greedy spirit. Philippians chapter 4, verse 11. Again, Paul is expressing confidence in Christ that he is the provider. Philippians 4:11. I am not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content whatever the circumstances. Verse 12, I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. Saul of Tarsus, before he was the Apostle Paul, was raised by rich parents, and he was educated very well. Saul of Tarsus grew up in a rich home. He knew what it was to have plenty. As a young Pharisee on his own, he was a leader in Israel. He knew what it was to be well off. Even on his missionary journeys, there were times because of the generosity of fellow believers that Paul had plenty. But he also says in Philippians 4:12, I know what it is to be in need. And there were times that Paul resorted to his tent making in order to support himself. There were times that Paul was threadbare when it came to finances. He says in verse 12, I know what it is to be in need. I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether I'm well fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. His contentment was in his walk with Christ. His living for the Lord was what brought him contentment. And again, Paul knew what it was to have a lot or to have a little. I think most of us have been there at some point in our life where things were really short. Other times we had a little extra. Most of us can relate to that, maybe not to the extremes of the Apostle Paul. And then he says in verse 13, the famous verse, I can do everything through Christ who strengthens me, who gives me strength. So Paul is grateful both in Philippians 4 and in 2 Corinthians 9 for abundant provision for needs from the Lord. A fifth one in 2 Corinthians is found at the end of chapter 9. If you'll look back there with me. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 15. A fifth and final thing in the book of 2 Corinthians that Paul gives thanks for. He's thankful for answered prayer, for assurance along life's path, the Lord is my shepherd. He appreciates the people that the Lord has blessed him with in his life, the provision that God has given him, sometimes more, sometimes less. And finally, the best thing of all, 2 Corinthians 9:15. This is a verse we often hear at Christmas. Now we're really getting ahead of ourselves. It's Deb McGarry's fault for talking about Christmas boxes, all right? 2 Corinthians 9:15. Thanks be to God. In each of our texts today, it's thanks to God. Thanks be to God for his indescribable, unspeakable gift. Paul has said, I'm thankful for these different things in 2 Corinthians. But before the book is done, he says, I'm thankful most of all to God for the best gift of all. That's the gift of the Lord Jesus Christ, the gift of the gospel. For God so loved the world that he gave. Galatians 4:4, in the fullness of time, God sent forth his son. God gave. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. Believe it or not, 1 Corinthians is right in front of 2 Corinthians. If you'll turn to chapter 15, where Paul talks about this gift. And this is where we'll be closing today. 1 Corinthians 15, verses 1 to 5. Paul is thankful that God answers prayer. He's thankful that God is a faithful shepherd along life's path, no matter what we go through. He's thankful for people that God has put in his life to benefit and bless. He is thankful for all the provision that God has supplied. And he's thankful for the gospel of Christ. 1 Corinthians 15, 1 to 5. Now, brothers and sisters, I want to remind you of the gospel, the good news I preached to you, which you received and on which you've taken your stand. That's what a Christian is. A Christian is a person who's received the gospel of Christ. Verse 2, by this gospel you are saved, if you hold firmly to the word I preached to you. Otherwise, you have believed in vain. Paul is speaking to fellow believers who have received Christ, believed the gospel. Verse 3, for what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance. And here Paul tells us what the gospel is. It's of first importance. Paul didn't make it up. He received it, as did the other apostles, and he's relating it on. The gospel is this: Christ died for our sins, the end of verse 3, according to the scriptures. Verse 4, he was buried. He was raised on the third day, according to the scriptures, and then he appeared. The gospel, the good news of Christ, 2 Corinthians 9:15, Paul says, thanks be to God for his indescribable, unspeakable gift of Christ and the gospel of Christ. The gospel is Christ died for our sins. He was buried to prove that he died. He arose again on the third day according to the scriptures, and he appeared to many to prove that he was alive. The gospel is four simple parts. Christ died for our sins. He was buried because he really died, though he was God. He rose from the dead on the third day, and he appeared to many to prove that he was alive and was resurrected. Paul says, when you believe this, when you receive this for yourself, you are saved. You see that at the beginning of verse 2? By this gospel you are saved. By this gospel you are saved. By this gospel you are saved. All through the Bible, you're saved by faith, believing, trusting. You are not saved here by anything you do. You are saved by responding to what Christ has done. The good news of Christ, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish but have everlasting life. The gospel is Christ died for our sins, was buried, rose again the third day, and appeared to many. And when you believe that message and when you receive Christ as your Savior, 1 Corinthians 15:2, by this gospel you are saved. Paul's thankful for five things in 2 Corinthians that you and I can be thankful for. We've got a month till Thanksgiving, but Lord, help us to be thankful, grateful people every day of the year, because it's my nature and it's yours to grumble and gripe. But the Lord and his word call us to a higher plane, to live on a higher level. It is human nature and it is natural in this fallen world to be whiners, grumblers, gripers, and complainers. But the Lord calls us to be people of faith who are thankful for answered prayer because we're praying, thankful for a good shepherd who assures us of victory all along life's path, thankful for people that the Lord has put in our life to bless us and benefit us, thankful for his abundant provision, and we in America have so much, and thankful for the amazing gift, the amazing present of his Son and the gospel. Lord, forgive us when we whine. Lord, forgive us when we doubt. Forgive us when we grumble and gripe and complain. Lord, increase our faith, strengthen our trust in you, so that no matter what we are going through, we believe you wholly, we depend upon you fully. We thank you that you freely save us by grace. We thank you, Lord, that you walk with us and lead us in victory. We thank you that you hear our prayers and answer. We thank you for all the people you've put in our lives that can bless us and we can be a blessing to them. Lord, we're thankful for all that you provide for us. We have so much as Americans, and we have so much in Christ as Christians. And Lord, we're thankful most of all for you. Thanks be to God for his indescribable, unspeakable gift. Thank you, Lord, that you left the glory of heaven and you took on the goriness of the cross to bear our sin in your body on that cross. And thank you that being very God, you overcame all of our sin, our guilt, death, and hell, and you have delivered us from the domain of darkness and into the kingdom of light, the kingdom of heaven. Lord, make us to be grateful. Forgive us when we're not. Fill us with your spirit of gratitude. And Lord, I pray that in this month of Thanksgiving and all through the year, that we would be people who honor you by praising you and thanking you. From our call to worship today, Lord, we are reminded it is fitting to praise the Lord. It is right to praise you and to thank you, for your word is true, and you are a faithful God. Lord, thank you that we can thank you today from our hearts. And when we're challenged by circumstances, increase our faith, increase our trust in you. Give us thankfulness on dark days as well as bright days, that we might glorify and honor you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Let's all stand, please. Number 469, Trust and Obey. 469, please. 469. When we walk with the Lord in the light of His Word, what a glory He sheds on our way. While we do His good will, He abides with us still, and with all who will trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Not a shadow can rise, not a cloud in the skies, but His smile quickly drives it away. Not a doubt nor a fear, not a sigh nor a tear can abide while we trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Not a burden we bear, not a sorrow we share, but our toil He doth quickly replay. Not a grief nor a loss, not a frown nor a cross, but is blessed if we trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. But we never can prove the delights of His love until all on the altar we lay. For the favor He shows and the joy He bestows are for them who will trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Then in fellowship sweet, we will sit at His feet, or we'll walk by His side in the way. What He says we will do, where He sends we will go. Never fear, only trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey.
Thank you all for coming. You're dismissed.